Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Born September 21st in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, he took his start doing impressions of his teachers in high school to becoming one of the most sought-after voice artists in the country. He's best known for his work as Joey on the long-running series, Full House. You've seen him on the VH1 reality series, The Surreal Life, and the Netflix reboot, Fuller House. And he is, simply put, one of our favorite people to have on the show. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Dave Coulier.
Mr. Dave Coulier.
It has been too long, brother.
It really has, man. It's been way too long. I think, you know, it's honestly been too tough to get together and talk. You know?
That's what I tell all my friends.
You know, I just, we were talking about how frustrating and still super raw it is about Bob.
Well, yesterday was Bob's birthday, yeah. And the entire Full House cast, you know, we're on a text string, and so we were texting pictures back and forth. Lori Loughlin and Andrea Barber went graveside and visited Bob yesterday out in California. Me and Mike Young, who Mike toured with Bob, opening for Bob for 10 years.
Yeah.
We got together and went out to my property and we smoked a cigar because Bob loves cigars. So, I mean, it's tough losing somebody that you've known for 40-some years. You know, I met Bob when I was 18, and, yeah, that's never going away.
No, you slept at his house.
I did. I slept with Bob many times, many, many times, and it was just out of pure necessity. We were struggling comedians, and, you know, we didn't have anywhere else to lay down.
Yeah. No, he was one of those guys, like, it's hard to explain to people. If you knew him, you understood. And honestly, I think the other thing is, what you saw is what you got with Bob, and it was even deeper, and it was even more empathic, and he was maybe the kindest human being I've ever met.
Yeah, he was. That's all true. And he loved the fact that I would tell people, Bob is my filthy Jewish sister.
Dude, that was his little valve. If things got dark, if they got hard, instead of internalizing it, that valve would pop on Bob, and he would say something. You're like, oh, God damn, man. Like, every once in a while, we'd be sitting around after a show over at his hotel or something and drinking a little bourbon and talking, and he'd say something so over the top, and then he'd look at me and go, that is not for the radio. You know, he was letting you know, like, that's not a repeater, my friend. That's not for anybody else.
Yeah, and you just want to say, Bob, that is not for 99% of human beings, what you just said.
Yeah, and you know he valued, and you knew this. He valued you, your brotherhood so much. Like, you know, when his mom was passing, and the fact that you were all there, and the fact you farted on his mom when she was dying.
That's the most lovely thing you can do for Bob's mom. You know, and I made a choice. I was the guy who, you know, I stuck my butt out there and went out on a limb, and I thought, you know what, you got to do it. And I did. And it was pure love. It was all about love.
Of course, man. It is. That's how you know it's real brotherhood. And, you know, I think, you know, I think for me, what was hard, and I was getting off a plane. I'd just been out on the road for 2 weeks, backpacking through Barcelona and Germany and in London. And I was landing in Boston when my phone went off and Bob, the news broke that he had passed during my flight back from England. And so I'm in this airport trying to get home, you know, and you're a little rung after a couple of weeks. And I'm just reading this. And then the texts start coming. I'm just like it was for you, I'm sure. And then I'm just a weird grown man on an airplane flying from Boston to Kansas City, crying in a seat, man, just like trying to face the window because it was so shocking to me.
It hit all of us. I mean, it dropped us. It was a heart punch. And I was texting Bob that morning, and he made me laugh texting some really inappropriate stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the last text I sent him was, "Hey, brother, I love you. Have a great show tonight." And then the next day, Stamos called me, and, he was FaceTiming, and I thought, this is a weird time of day for John to be FaceTiming me. And so I made some stupid joke, and John said, "Bob Saget died." And when he said Bob's full name, because I'd never heard John, you know, it would just be, he'd refer to him just, "Hey, Bob," you know?
Yeah.
But to hear him say Bob's full name, it really just registered so weird. And I asked John about that. I said, "Why did you say Bob's full name? That was so weird." And he goes, "Because I just couldn't fathom that he was gone."
Right. Right. It was that. It was that moment of vibe. Because it even now, like, that's my frustration with it, is it was just a random accident in life.
Yeah, and those are the ones that hurt the most, ones that just come out of left field and suddenly someone's gone. You know, I lost my brother last year at this time, and he took his own life, and that was one of those same instances where you just don't know who to turn to, you don't know how to feel, you don't know what to do with this rough sadness that overcomes you. And when I found my brother, actually at my dad's house down the basement.
And
I just didn't know.
David,
I didn't know what to do. And the toughest part about it, Johnny, was having to go upstairs and tell my dad.
Yeah.
And I just fell apart. And I just knew this news right now that I have to deliver to my dad is just going to, he was 91 years old. I thought this could kill him. This could just, and it was just one of those things that you do in your life that you can never not see again. And so the positive silver lining here is that it does give you tremendous perspective about the value of life and love.
Yes.
And friendship.
Yes. Yes. It's and then you lost your father.
Yeah, I lost my dad 2 months ago.
Yeah, me too. And, I lost my father 2 months ago as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother.
Yeah.
It's tough to see your parents get old. You know, it's even tougher to have to say goodbye. But I was really, if you can say, lucky. I was lucky that my dad was in his final week, and my wife said, "You better get over here." And I said, "Okay." Because my wife, Melissa, was a trooper. I mean, she and my dad were, you know, thick as thieves, and he just loved her, and they adored each other. And she said, "You need to get over here." And I said, "Okay." So I went over there, and he was just completely out of it. They already had him on hospice and morphine. And I just grabbed his hand, and I started talking to him. And I got to tell him all the things that a son can say to a father about how you're proud and lucky to have them, and, you know, thank you. And I love you. And I got to say all those things. And my dad opened his eyes and squeezed my hand. And I just knew at that point that he heard me, that he was still in there. And I'm forever grateful to be able to have done that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, my dad, we didn't expect him to die. We thought he was coming home, and he turned septic, and I was flying in from Dallas, and I'm so glad because I almost stayed an extra day. My brother called me in the morning, said, you need to get here. And it all just happened so very fast. But luckily, my entire family was surrounding my father. And you know, it's as good as it can be. And you say what you want to say. And everybody had time with dad. And it just, but you're never ready to say, my dad died today.
No. But the beauty of it is that there was love in that room surrounding him.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world is forever grateful for those kind of moments.
Yeah. And it does make perspective everything. Because it's, you know, again, with Bob, like, I don't know how long it'll take to feel differently about it, but I'm almost angry at the world because I'm like, dude, come on. This was just, he wasn't sick. He didn't do drugs. He didn't want to die. He loved people. He loved performing. I was going to see him again. We'd text over Thanksgiving. I was like, man, we were having a great conversation. And, you know, and I can't wait to see you. And he's like, I can't wait to get to Kansas City. And just, you know, I look back at those texts on my phone and I go, God damn it, man. Like, it was all fine. Everything was fine. And then it's not fine. And it breaks my heart for Kelly, and it breaks my heart for his kids, and for you, and for Stamos, and for everybody who knew him. Because, dude, he felt, and you know this, he felt he was a true empath. Like, he, when the world was bad, he felt bad. He felt responsible somehow. He wanted people to be better. He wanted them to feel better. Like, he genuinely, I believe, he really cared as deeply as anyone I've ever known about this planet.
He did. That's all true, and, you know, the world is a lot less funny. And this past year, I mean, losing Norm MacDonald and Louis Anderson and Gilbert Gottfried and Bob, I mean, you know, heaven is laughing really hard right now. But, you know, we as a planet, we need that laughter right now so much in this divisive world that we live in. And, you know, I just see all this hatred that's being taught to people.
Yeah.
And you need the Bob Sagetts in the world. That's kind of a huge relief valve that just kind of tells you, you know what, it's okay to laugh and it's okay to feel things, but it's not okay. And it's okay to love, but it's not okay to hate.
That's right. That's right. And that's what he did. And those are the shows he did. Like, man, when people would laugh, and you know this, you're a comedian. If you're just joining the show, friend Dave Coulier, and this is the first time we've spoken on the show since Bob's passing. You know, we sent each other messages, but honestly, I wanted to call a couple times, but I was like, man, I just feel like I'm gonna make it even worse for Dave because I feel like I'm just gonna cry on the phone. And it really, it's as strange as that is, because I loved Bob and we were definitely friends, but I mean, it's not like I had 40 years with him. But for whatever reason, he had that ability to bring you into his world and make you feel like you were always a part of his family, like genuine.
Yeah, and he was, you know, at the end of the day, he was a really down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
And I loved one of his lines, you know. He said, hey, you know what? People go, gosh, Bob, I love you so much. I love your show and Full House. And he'd go, you know what? I put my underwear on over my head just like everybody else.
That's a fact. Listen, let's talk about some other fun. Let me talk about something. Are you building your own house?
I am. I went to contractor school and I passed all the classes. It took me 6 months, but it still doesn't mean I know how to build a house. So,
by the way, that's a very hard achievement. I have two friends who had to take that test. I think twice, at least twice.
It's hard. It's, well, because it's a lot of law. It's a lot of medical. You know, looking out for your employees, it's insurance, it's regulations. It's not much about building homes.
Right,
it's really
right.
About business infrastructure. But, you know, I wanted to learn, and so I'm the owner-builder of our house here in Michigan. And it's going to be beautiful, but, man, I'll tell you, I am so humbled. That's a real skill. When you can build a home and put all of those building blocks together and have it come out as a really nice home. That's such a skill that I've always admired. So I really wanted to learn, but man, I'm getting my ass handed to me. I'll tell you, just with regulations, permits, dealing with counties and municipalities, the infrastructure, before you even pound a nail or put a board up, there's a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I respect those guys.
And if you have
people who do it.
If you meet a dick along the way, like somebody with the permits person or a codes person, and they just decide they don't think you're great, it can be a very long day for you, man. I've seen that too. Like you learn early, and you're a charming cat, so I'm sure you're doing fine. But man, I have friends who are, you know, builders, and they're a little rough around the edges. And man, they'll let it get loose a little bit, and suddenly it's a long day of I don't have time. I guess you can come back tomorrow. We'll talk about this permit, and it's hard. I did rough end construction forever, and I've helped my friends do everything from, you know, electrical to being the, you know, running pipe to roofing houses, you know, across the board. So it's hard, but you're building your own house, Dave Coulier. Like, that's the house that your kids will come to, the house that, you know, your family will always go, this is the house that Dad built. This is the house that Dave built. This is, you know, this is your family legacy now. And that, I think, is a pretty neat romantic idea.
It is, you know, and I turn into Beaver Cleaver around, you know, some of these, where you got to pull permits and municipalities and stuff. I'll show up. I'll be like, brought your wife a box of chocolate.
Right, right. Yes.
Maybe we can get that PVC approved to cross under the driveway, right,
hey, sir? Dude, and you're going to make friends that are going to last forever. When I bought the land, Disgrace Land, I ended up making a lot of friends I would have never met, except for I met them along the way building stuff, heavy equipment operating, putting together the outbuilding, learning how a dam works, how you put in culverts, you know, from Bible Mike to, I mean, it literally goes and goes. It would take me 10 minutes to mention everybody. But they've all become really great friends. And I feel like they're going to be friends forever because you're all have a like-minded thing, and that's creating something.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking pictures of everybody. I take a headshot with my phone. And they're like, well, why do you need my picture? And I go, because you're going to be on the wall of fame in my garage.
Yeah.
Of someone who helped build this place. They're like, oh, that's kind of cool.
You what? So where are you at now? Right now, where are you at in the house building? Are you through rough? Or are you at the beginning of it? Or are you in the finish? Like, where are you at?
We're just in the permit stage, and we just turned our plans in last week, and so we're waiting on plan approval. There's insurance, there's all of the municipalities, gas, water, power, sewer, so talking to all of those folks. So we're probably about 6 weeks away from breaking ground.
And then what do you think it'll take you, 3 months?
For the house bill?
Yeah.
Probably about 16 months.
16. You know, I guess I'm so used to, you know what? Here's what I'm sorry. The reason I say 3 months is I'm so used to being on a roughing crew for X amount of days, and then you walk away. I'm not even considering what happened after we left. Yeah, sorry about
that. Yeah, it'll be about, hopefully we're in by next Christmas of 23.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Dude, I keep threatening to build a house out there. Listen, if you do, or now that you are doing it, you better have some cool hidden doorways, ridiculous stuff that a childish brain knows as a man. It's your house. This is you to build. Like, if you don't have a secret walkway or a hidden room or a tunnel that goes somewhere, I'll be wildly disappointed.
How about a bunker?
Good man. Good man.
Bunker.
Yeah.
Got a bunker.
I always figured it would be the worst kept super secret bunker in the world if I had one. I'd be like, hey, guys, I have a secret bunker. Come over and look at it. Because.
No, I'm just, you know, you just don't know what the world's going to bring. So it's like, yeah, you know, in case something happens,
sure,
we're good.
Yeah. And I'm just genuinely childish. I just want something that looks like a bookcase that opens up into another room. It just seems. If I'm going to go through the expense and the trouble of building a house, I want something that people go, wow, not this is a big house or this is a nice house. This is a really weird house that, you know, the stairs go straight up and, you know, just like the Adam or the Munsters, and you can walk through into a whole basement where grandpa lives.
Were you a fort kid? Did you build forts when you were a kid?
Nonstop, man. We would go take scrap from construction sites and build them in the woods. You know, there'd always be an easement woods over there, and you'd hide your dirty magazines over there and your cigarettes, and you know, you'd hang out over there. And I mean, it was nonstop. It started with, you know, sheets and blankets and chairs when a little kid, and then turns into cardboard boxes, and then turns into scrap wood. You know, yeah, no, building stuff is the best. It's the most fun. And some people love it and some don't, but I do love it.
Well, Michigan winters here, I built a A-frame in my backyard for sophomore year of high school, and my dad called it the wooden monster in the backyard. That's a wooden monster. That's not a fort. So eventually it burned down my senior year. Someone left a cigarette butt in it.
Right. It was a mysterious fire. It was your dad. Your dad got rid of it.
Could have been. Could have been. Yeah. My brother always says he was the one who did it.
Yeah.
I was a fort kid here in Michigan. You know, that was, but you do. You start out with blankets and chairs. And then, you know, you stake them, you get a rope and you put them between the fences in your backyard, and you stake, you know, you throw a sheet over the rope, stake it down.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, it's always fun. It's, and now, kids, let me tell you, kids have it easy. I've given this gift out so many times. It's, they have these shapes. Sometimes it's like a flying saucer or a tent, but it has a fan hooked into the actual parachute material. And all you do is plug it in as a parent, and it's separate. It's got a little tunnel, so a kid can't reach it. And it literally inflates a fort for them in the living room that fits into a bag the size of a bag of peas. It's the great. I've given 20 of these away to kids at this point.
Oh, you got to shoot me that link. That's cool.
Oh, dude, it's fantastic. I will definitely send it to you. And, dude, if I get, you know what, I'm about half tempted to threaten you with showing up there and just helping you work for a few days just to do it.
You should. Michigan summer, we're on the water. Our property's on Lake St. Clair. And, you know, we have a beautiful boat, and we can pull up to the property on the boat. And, you know, it's pretty spectacular on the Great Lakes in the summertime. Come on up.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
Always welcome.
I love to build and die. I'm glad you're doing okay, man. It's been a year. It's been a hard one. Oh, holy cow, I can't let you go yet because I just finished the goddamn Matt Sorum book.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You know, he lied. He lied about
that's what I thought.
Knocking me out.
That's what I thought.
He didn't knock me out. I've been knocked out. I've been a hockey player my whole life.
Right.
I still skate every Saturday morning. I remember the times I've been knocked out, and that wasn't one of them.
See, I was pissed reading that.
Yeah, there were 10 people at my house that night, and his version of the story is a little warped. But don't lie. He didn't knock me out. Yeah. It took me and two other guys to drag him out of my house. And his ex-girlfriend, Chelsea, is really upset that he lied about that. And she's been tweeting about it. Because it's just a lie. He didn't knock me out.
No.
And I don't know why he would make that up, you know? I liked Matt until that night. And then Stamos always told me, he said, you know, Matt's a great guy until he starts drinking. So just remember that. And, you know, he got in a lot of trouble that night, but I wasn't the one he punched. I'll let your imagination figure out what he did.
Well, look, I remember you telling me the story early on in our friendship of him throwing all the stuff in your pool and you tossing him out and then him trying to apologize and you going, no, I don't, we can't be friends.
We can't be friends. That's what I told him.
Yeah. No, I read that and I was like, I don't feel like this is how it went. Not to mention the fact that you're a lot bigger than he is. And I'm like, this is a Michigan kid who plays hockey. I go, Coulier will knock his goddamn ass off if he decides to get cute. It's fun to wear tough clothes, Matt, but that doesn't make you a tough guy. Like, he's, you know, and that drinking and anger, it's also, you know, he doesn't admit it in the book. It's a good book, but he doesn't admit that that's what cost him the job in Guns N' Roses. Axl hated him because he kept shooting his mouth off when he was a hired gun and he wasn't a real member.
Yeah, I was disappointed that he lied about that.
Yeah.
You know, hey, if you've knocked me out, I probably deserved it. And, you know, I've been knocked out in many a hockey game coming up, you know, because I am not a good fighter. And, you know, if you pop me with a shot in the jaw, I'm going down. And I remember those times, but that was not one of them.
Yeah, of course. You want me to
hey,
punch him in the face if I see him?
By the way, he is bigger than me.
Is he?
He is bigger than me. Yeah, he's bigger than me. Yeah.
I see. I've met him, and for whatever reason, in my head, I think of you, and you're a good size. You're a tall guy. Like I don't remember him being of a good size. For whatever reason, it might be personalities, man. Sometimes we view people in our heads as bigger because they're stand up big good guys, and then sometimes smaller because you just don't think much of them.
Yeah. No, he could knock me out. I'm not saying he couldn't, but he didn't that night. So that's not true. Anybody who's read that book, that's not a true story. And, you know, his ex-girlfriend, Chelsea, has debunked that as well because she was there. And she's like, why is he lying? You know, I said, well, I don't know, man. Lies can sell books, I guess.
Can you imagine? I go, shoot this video for Dave. I'm doing this for Dave. And we just end up in the whole thing in the studio.
Hey, a couple of things coming out. One is the Bob Saget Netflix, there's a really nice tribute to him coming out.
Great.
On Netflix, and that's coming out, I think, in a few weeks. It's really good. Some really good heartfelt stuff in there. And Chappelle's in it, Jim Carrey, Chris Rock, me, Jeff Ross, Minder, Stamos. There's some really, I think Mary Kate and Ashley, they were there, so I'm pretty sure that they'll make the cut unless they don't want to be in it. But it's some really interesting, reflective stuff about Bob. Some tears and lots of laughs. So that's really cool. And then I just finished starring. That's such a weird word for me to say about myself. But I just finished a new series for Sony, which is called... Live and Local, and I play a curmudgeon radio host.
I wonder where the inspiration came from.
So I grew my beard out, and it's about a guy who's number one in the market in a very small market on a faith-based radio station, and he's not going to change. So they want him to do social media, and they want him to do all the internet stuff, and he's just not budging. And it's a real departure for me, playing a curmudgeon-y character.
Yeah.
But it's really funny. And they built a radio studio.
Excellent.
For us. And we've got, five cameras in the studio. And so it's a little bit like the Larry Sanders Show, where when we stand down and we're off air, it goes to handheld coverage.
Yeah.
So it's shot like The Office or the Larry Sanders Show. Really interesting. I'm really proud of it. And that will be out in July. I'll be talking about it on Good Morning America, the Today Show.
I can't wait for this because, you know, obviously there's no way anybody could miss it. I'm a huge WKRP fan, and we haven't had a great show like that. And that's a great way to get back into that medium and the idea of it all. And I think you're going to be great in it. I can't wait to see it. What network or what stream is it going to go to?
It's for Sony Affirm, which is kind of their faith-based programming, and it will be on PureFlix. And you got to do a little work to find it, but, you know, they're a new streamer for Sony, and that's where it's going to be. But it's called Live and Local, and a plus sign, so 5+ local. But it's pretty neat. It's a real departure for me, and it was tons of fun, and I'm also an executive producer of the show, so I'm really proud of it in a number of ways. But it's really cool, and that faith-based market is really underserved, so this is great programming for the whole family. It's really cool.
Well, listen, hopefully it can cross, too, because this will be a huge shock to you, Dave. I don't know where any of my faith-based programming is on my cable system. So... So I'm going to find it, but I, you know, funny is funny. You know what I mean? Like I wanted to do great and start there, but man, I mean, for me, my instant thought is that I want to see it out among everything because funny is funny. Good is good. And entertaining is entertaining.
And you know, we don't get preachy in it at all.
No,
it's
man.
That kind of the commercials and stuff, you know, is kind of an underlying background, but it's not preachy at all. Right. I mean, you rarely hear us even mention anything, you know, but it's, like I said, funny is funny.
Yeah.
It's really interesting visually, And you won't even notice that it's on a faith-based network.
Dude, I can't wait. By the way, my side jam, and I do this all the time. There's a televangelist named Peter Popoff. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, but what a great name.
Dude, I sign up for this charlatan stuff, and I get the greatest letters from him. I sent him a deal, said, I want you to pray for my gambling addiction. And then I sent my girlfriend's address in with her name and her address, her self-pollution, pornography, masturbation addiction. And I've been signing my friends up, and he sends these incredible letters. I got holy water in a foil package. I got plastic corn to plant my seed. I've got, I just got anointing oil that I'm supposed to rub on my forehead. I save these letters in a file because for whatever reason, I am just fascinated with that aspect of it all. It's so weird.
Yeah.
But just side note, you have to look this guy up, Peter Popoff. And
I'm going to Google him right now, man. Are you kidding?
Sign yourself up. It sounds crazy. Sign yourself up so you can read what he will send you. It will be more. It will give you so many ideas, I think, if you do guys do a second season of this. Like, the idea that this guy then meets that guy. Like, I'm telling you got to read this. It's so over the top and over. You're just like, who is buying this crazy? I mean, it's super fantastic. Supernatural wealth and respect is coming your way if you'll just plant a financial seed.
And I love that you sent your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. Because it always references what you complained about in the first, or like, I've been praying for you and your gambling problem, you degenerate, you know. And so she's getting letters that are like, you are touching yourself, and you're it's just not what Christ would want you to do with your hands. He'd want you to do.
That's how we all got here, by touching ourselves.
They take that away from me, dude, and I don't want to live.
Come on. I just pulled a little practical joke on my wife. We got a Tesla, and you can program the horn to make a fart sound.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's my wife's car. So she didn't know that that was an option, that that was a feature on the car. And you can take it, there's like a fart randomizer, so each one is a different sound. So you can also make it so when the turn signal blinks each time, a different fart comes out. So I programmed it. And she goes, what? She gets home. She goes, what did you do to my car? And I said, what are you talking about? She goes, you know what you did. And I go, did you make a lot of turns today or something?
That's so great, dude. That is so great. Yeah. In the old days, my buddy said that they used to, and I'd never seen it in person, but he said you could find there was a way to wire the horn back to your brake light, to your brake pedal. So every time you'd step on the brake, it would make your horn fire in the older cars. Every stoplight, the dude in front of you thought you were being a giant a-hole, like, because you're standing on your brake and going, yeah. Dude, I love it. I love it. Listen, I love you. Tell me you're going to get an improv date. I know you're building the house. You got your TV show that's happening in just a month. But when are you going to get to Kansas City?
I don't know. I did a military tour, which finished in December. I did 24 U.S. Air Force bases. And, you know, that kind of burned me out for a while. And I started a new company called Grilled Cheese Media. And we just sold our first series called Yum Yum. It's an animated series for kids. So, you know, I'm kind of behind the scenes right now. What I want to do is put together a whole act about baby boomer stuff. And just do it for the baby boomers in the world.
Sure.
Because we get made fun of, but there's some really funny stuff there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so, you know, so that's kind of what I'm scheming to do next.
Dude, I feel better.
Good, man.
I do. I genuinely feel better. Thank you.
Well, thanks for all that love about Bob. I mean, that's really touching to hear that. And, you know, so many people are going through so many tough times this past couple of years. And it's just, boy, I'll tell you, I can't love people enough right now.
Right.
The world needs it.
Yes. Yes, it does, man. All right. Listen, I'm going to stay in touch and we're going to find a way to get together, even if I got to come to Michigan. So, again, time is everything, and I've never been more aware of that.
Well, brother, lots of love to you and your listeners, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, sir. I love you, man. Stay there. The great, legendary Dave Coulier.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If I asked you, did you already read these?
No.
If I asked either of you, the snowy dome of this tallest volcano in the lower 48 states, that's not Alaska then, right? You got it? It's often shrouded in clouds. The snowy dome of the tallest volcano. What would you say? You have to answer in the form of a question.
What is Mount Rainier?
You would have beaten a 5-time tourney champion on one question.
Damn, St. Joe, look at you.
Now, understand, that was one question he missed. Right?
Still impressive.
He had answered Mount Hood, which, okay. Rainier, yeah. I don't know what I would have said. I'm reading the question, so I'd like to tell you how to say Rainier, but...
I laugh because I was just talking to Brad off the air because I read some stuff on him that said, you know, he's kind of a self-proclaimed slacker and he used to run a record store in Pennsylvania, whatever.
He did?
And I said, Johnny and Greg with the show used to run a record store, whatever, but I feel like it took a different turn at some point. He started laughing.
No, that's a bit divergent. Now we had a couple of record stores we worked at. My first job was a record store. You gave me Irresponsible Records, EAR. Very clever. Eric Tischauer, God bless you. And then, of course, Streetside Records. Yeah. And no, those were there were no Mensa or Jeopardy champions on our staff.
Born January 31st in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, he went from being on his high school quiz bowl team, being inducted in the National Academic Championship Hall of Fame, to becoming the winningest contestant ever on the long-running game show, Jeopardy, amassing winnings of over $5 million. And now, you can see him every Tuesday night on the ABC primetime game show, The Chase. Please welcome, Brad Rutter.
Mr. Rutter, how are you?
I'm not doing so well because you had to bring up that Mount Rainier thing again.
but
that still kills me. I don't know why I said Mount Hood. I knew that.
Yeah, of course. Of course you did. Because I looked at all these. I looked at some other questions that you missed, and I was like, yeah, no, I missed every one of these. There would have been no chance that I would have known. While serving the Army during World War I, Irving Berlin, who, of course, we know, Irving Berlin, was inspired to write the song, Oh, How I Hate to Do This.
And I knew that one, too. It just wouldn't come to me.
It's Get Up in the Morning, which I didn't know at all. And it was like, I would never have known that. Or, I mean,
My grandpa used to sing that to me.
Really? You're one of those guys, like, and I have friends like you who have an ability to absorb information randomly. And I do it a bit, but not like you guys do. There's a thing that I can't explain. That I have two friends. I have one friend who does it with guns and military. Like he remembers all the battles. He remembers all of the how it happened. I mean, and the setup, and then what weapons were used, and how the tide was turned, and what political situation started it, and all through world wars. And it's a fascinating idea, and I don't know why some information stays with us and some doesn't.
Yeah, I think there's two things. One is that I think your brain just has to work that way on a certain level. But then the other thing is, like, you're always going to remember more stuff that you're interested in.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
I think that's
your friend is interested in World War II, like, the wider your interests are, the more you're going to remember. So I've been lucky that I have a pretty wide range of interests.
Yeah, yeah, and that really is it. Like, I have a ridiculous knowledge about, like, 80s hair metal and certain musical bands, and, like, because that was my jam, right? And we were talking about, you worked at a record store, we worked at a record store, so you have all this ridiculous knowledge, but it's because you loved it.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. It's just being interested in a lot of different things.
So if you're just joining the show, 5.1 million, by the way, fantastic. Five-time tourney champion with this, which turns into The Chase on ABC, which you're great at, third season now. And what you're doing is this is such a great, like, all, it's not dick, but it's kind of three people are doing their absolute best, and then you run them down like a limping rabbit, and you crush their dreams.
Yeah, it's that's sort of the idea. Is there's an injured gazelle on the Serengeti plain, yeah, and we're the leopards trying to take him down.
Yeah. And so those of you who haven't seen The Chase, like, these guys will have a chance to work together and use all three brains, and they try to amass a certain amount of questions answered correctly. And they're hard. And then if they get 22, you got to get 23, correct?
That's how it works. And they actually do have an advantage in the final round, because anything we get wrong, they get to, you know, talk about and then come up with the right answer. And if they do get the right answer, it pushes us back one. So it might be more than 23 we have to get if they get 22.
God, it must have been. Is it fun to be the bad guy rolling up on them?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one thing. I'm a pretty easygoing guy, so that's probably the hardest thing for me is being mean enough. But I told them this year, it's like, mean is a little tough for me, but smug and cocky I can do.
Yeah.
That's generally my lane.
Well, that's it. With a bit of a wink, right? Like, that's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. You. So, by the way, side note, like, Alex Trebek, who we interviewed, as you know, because we've been here a long time, but never would ever be able to say we knew him. What was he like?
Well, he was exactly like you see on TV, like you saw on TV, and more. You know, he was that guy. He could tell he took the job really seriously and really had fun with his job, and really was a well-read, intellectually curious kind of guy. But then during the commercial breaks, like he had a great sense of humor too. Like he would always be doing a little shuffle, soft shoe dance and stuff like that. And he had this German accent that he liked to do all the time. So, exactly what you would see on TV, but a little more fun when the cameras were off.
Yeah. Yeah, the tree came out one time with no pants.
Yeah. That was crazy. So that was the finals of one of the big super tournaments, and it was me and Ken Jennings and Jerome Verrett, who's another great champion. And, you know, we were just talking about how nervous we were. You know, it was $2 million on the line, and To cut the tension, they introduced Alex like they were going to start the show, and he came out with his suit jacket on, but no pants.
That's fantastic.
And it did break the tension.
And now with this Chase on ABC, like, this is your full-time gig now. Like, you've you know, obviously you won money, and, you know, with everything you did in Jeopardy, and then, you know, you're getting ancillary, but now is this your new jam going to be for the rest of your life, or are you just taking it as it comes?
Well, hey, I'm knocking on wood here. I hope we can go 20 seasons.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely, if that's the way it works out. But yeah, that's my only job now. So I'm getting to be a certain age, so I have to keep up with, like, the current pop music and stuff, which I wouldn't otherwise. But yeah,
sure.
That's what I'm about.
Tell me this. What was your last real job?
My last real job was the record store, actually.
God. Record store people are a different group of human beings, and I miss it more than I can put into words. I don't even want to tell people about it because it sounds like the old guy trying to talk about the good old days, and that's not it. It was just a culture that is part High Fidelity, you know. It's part Trailer Park. It's weirdos. And people who are willing to work for literally no money because they have this love of music. And everybody who worked at a record store knows that's how you ended up. Like, you just got paid nothing because you had this job. And it was a pretty cool job.
Yeah, that's I liked it a lot, too. And, I was working at a corporate store, but we like to try to make it as much like High Fidelity as we could.
Dude, they told us we couldn't drink beer at the cash register anymore, and we lost our goddamn minds. We were like, what kind of Nazi business is this? Like, oh, my God. The world was ending. Oh, what's next? Sleeves? You're going to want us to wear sleeves? Like it was like... It was great. Hold on. They're giving me the rap all of a sudden, Brad. Hopefully we'll get some time to spend, because I got a lot of questions for you, because I love the idea of record store to game show host. And it's such a great ride and so weird that I know there's got to be a lot more really fantastic parts to this.
Yeah, I'd love to come back sometime.
Man, I'd love to have you. I got a lot of questions. I think you're incredibly interesting. So, please, I'm going to put you on with Jake. I'll see if we can get somebody to reach out to, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, brother. Brad Rutter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.